to endure. I was looking at the definition, to suffer without yielding. You know, we talked about the value of suffering. You know, suffering has no value if we don't go through it in the right way. So this enduring is to suffer without yielding, to continue in the same state without perishing. And then it says to support without breaking or yielding to pressure. Enduring is to go through something from the beginning to the end of it, however long it may be. I'd like to start with a verse in Psalms 66 and 10, because I'm learning something in the scripture. Job is trying to teach it to me. Everything in the Christian's life is allowed by God. So I look at this one, Psalm 66 and 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. And we'll stop there for just a little bit. We went through fire and water. But if we stop there, you know what's happening in everything up until now? He's acknowledging God as the one that has allowed it to come into my life. You laid affliction on our loins. And I don't think that is blaming God for giving trouble in my life. It's just acknowledging God's in control of all the things that has come into my life. And he says, we went through fire and through water. But here's what the important part of it is when we talk about enduring. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Whether that's here or whether that's at the end of life, he wants to bring us out into a wealthy place. I was thinking about the enduring. There are races that people run. Some as a very short distance, it may be a 50 yard, and you just run as hard as you can to try to beat the others. Some is an endurance race that is going to last for hours. It is they have a triathlon that you will run so many miles. Then you'll get on a bicycle and you'll ride a bicycle for so many miles. And then you'll swim for so many miles. All of those things is part of an endurance test of who can do it all together. You know what? We're going through an endurance test in our life. We will, if we're not now. Sister Maxine just finished her endurance race. And I'm thankful to have been able to watch her go through it. Because each of the things that we've talked about, the value of suffering, the value of contentment in that suffering, we got to watch her come to places where she submitted that to God again and was able to climb back up on top and give it to God. When it seemed like it lasted longer than what she had expected or the caregivers had expected, I remember going to see her one afternoon, maybe 2 weeks before she died, and she said, Dan, I may not die. She just felt like, you know what, I'm here from here on out just like this. It's just going to carry on, keep on going. But you know what, her race has come to an end, and she endured it to the end. So for us now, it's our time for the race. I was thinking about Job. We talked about it a little bit this morning, but I'd like to give out some verses. If we can take Job 23 and 8 through 11. Okay. And Job 13 and 15. Let's look at those two, because I'm thinking about Job. If there was someone that had to endure some things, it was Job. And how did he go through those? What was his attitude as he went through? We know that he came to a place where he would like to have talked to God. But you know, even at that, his attitude wasn't too bad. He was still enduring. He'd just like to talk to God about why it was happening. But if we will look, go ahead and start with Job 23.
Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined.
He knows the way that I take. I look forward, I look backward. All those places where I used to feel his presence so close, right now I don't feel it. We're in this endurance race now. So where I am, where Job says he was, he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. So Job was at a place where he knew what God wanted, how God wanted him to live, the submission that was acceptable before God. And so he just says, I'm not able to feel him right now, but I am going to endure through this. What is endurance? To suffer without yielding, to continue in the same state without perishing, to support without breaking or yielding to the pressure that's applied. It's going to be very valuable for us too. In Matthew 10 and 22, it tells about some troubles that can come to people, but at the very end of that verse, it says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So no matter what troubles all of us go through, what trials we have, what's going to be real important is that we endure to the end of that trouble. The end of that trouble may not be our death. It may not be that we're out of this world now. It may just be this trouble that came to me for a while. Job, his trouble did not last till death. It came for a while, and then it was gone again. But he says, when I was in this trouble, and I tried to feel for the Lord, and I didn't find him there, what does it say? To continue in the same state. He knows the way that I take. I'm still living for him. Endurance to be able to walk through that time. And I think it's going to be very important for us also. There's another verse over in Job 13 and 15. Because I like the example that has been left by him.
Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him.
Though he slay me. So you know what? This is not saying the devil's the one doing it. You know, when Satan came to God, Satan was the one that brought on the affliction. But Job still is handing this to God. Though he slay me, though he allow my life to be taken, yet will I trust him. I am going to maintain my own ways before him. I am not going to break or yield under pressure. There's pressure applied to us when we're going through this enduring time. It can be a short period of time of some trouble in my life that I can't change myself. Joseph, we talked about him this morning. He did not break or yield when under pressure. So I was thinking about him. What was the pressure that was applied to Job? To Job and then also to Joseph. The pressure that was applied, I want to look at a verse that could cause it to happen. In Hebrews 12 and 15. And I think about Joseph. The things that happened to him can be the same thing that can happen to us when trouble comes into our life. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You know, us to be able to endure to the end is not about a special spiritual strength within us. It's about us tapping into the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. This one says it's possible to fail of the grace of God that would be available for us. You remember, Paul had a trouble that he must have been enduring, but he wanted it to be gone. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And I've never been able to find from any commentary that anybody that knows what that was. Some think it was a physical need. Some think it was temporal problems. Whatever it was, he considered it a thorn in the flesh. And he did what I would do. He started praying, asking the Lord to take it away. And the Lord he prayed three times that way. And the Lord gave him an answer. You know, I would like to get an answer when troubles come my way. He got an answer. His answer was, I've got grace sufficient for you. He didn't say, I'm not going to take away this thorn in the flesh. Well, he really did say it when he said, I've got grace for you through it. And then Job went ahead and endured some more. Most gladly, therefore, he was willing, once he realized this is what God's will is for him, he was willing to accept that. So let's think about Joseph for a little bit in this 15th verse. He could have failed of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That is a possibility for each of us when we're going through the enduring process of a trial. Lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you. What were some of the roots of bitterness? Is unforgiveness a root that can spring up when I'm enduring? I'm enduring this trouble. It's happening because of somebody else. I'm enduring it. But all these thoughts keep going through my mind. You remember the place that says, bringing into captivity every thought. We can have thoughts go through our mind about what someone did to us and how wrong it was, how it should not have happened. And then this little root of bitterness can start. Joseph had lots of time on his hands. The best I can tell, he was 17 years old when he went into captivity. It says he was 30 when he went to the position that was given to him. 13 years of enduring. Each thing that would come to him when he was a slave to Potiphar, he did the very best that he could do for him. When he was put in prison for something he did not do, he's enduring. But you know, his mind had to be working all the time. And he had to do something with that. Or very easily, a root of bitterness could have sprung up in him. So he's in there for a while, and then the butler and the baker come in. They have dreams, and he interprets it. And the butler is released and goes back to the palace again. And Joseph has just got a little question for him. Would you remember me when you get back there and talk to me, to the king? Because I didn't do anything wrong, and I'm in here. And I imagine he was just telling him, I sure will do it. And he forgot about it. Best I can tell, it was about 2 years before he remembered that. Some more enduring that was going on for Joseph. Sitting in the prison. You know, in the prison, you got a lot of time for thinking. Not outside doing a lot of work to occupy your mind. But whatever he did brought him out on the other side. And we just get to see a little picture of what happened to Joseph during that time. We get to see it when his brothers happened to show up. He could have let us see a picture of what had been going on in his mind all that time. But instead, he was able to tell to them, see, he's going through this enduring process. He's come out on the other side of it now. He was able to say to them, don't be upset with yourselves. It wasn't you that put me here. It was God. If we can, in our enduring times, because a lot of those are going to happen with somebody else involved, if we can at those places come to these places where, like in Psalm 66, Lord, it was you that caused men to ride over. Can you imagine coming to that place that we could live that kind of life? To where we can say when someone does us wrong, Lord, you caused that for some reason. Maybe there's something you're wanting to cause to bubble to the top in me. You know what? Sister Maxine let us know that. Things that can come to her in several months of laying in her bed on her back and the Lord bringing things to her that she consecrates to him again. You know, one of those has to be just a willingness to endure however long this affliction goes. You know, if the Lord would have told her, at the beginning of it, I tell you what, you hang on. 10 days from now, you're going to make heaven your home. That would have been pretty easy to endure. She doesn't know how long it's going to be. But to be able to consecrate it to the Lord, we're going to have some things come to us that we don't know how long it's going to be. But to be able to endure, to be able to, without breaking or yielding to the pressure that's applied to us. I want to look again over at 1 Peter 2:19. Because there's things that happen to us that is not our fault. 1 Peter 2 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter 2 and 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. That's a picture of Joseph right there. He suffered wrongfully. He endured grief. What glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do well and you suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. How do we prepare to be ready to endure when something comes our way? In 2 Timothy 2 and 3 is a verse, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Is enduring considered hardness? It is. Trouble that comes into our life. And I thought of this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Boot camp for the Christian. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When we hear about people that they, and whenever I was younger, they would have big signs out that would show we're enlisting for the Marines. And what they're looking for is just a few good men. Is there anybody that's a good man out there that can sign up? Maybe you don't even qualify. Boy, people would sign up for that and say, I'm ready. I think I can do it. But you know what? Some of them, before they finished that boot camp, they had put them through so many things. They said, no, I don't think I can make it. But to be able for us as a Christian to turn ourselves over to the Lord and say, Lord, put me through the testing that I need, because I'm going to need to be able to endure some things. You remember when the seeds were planted, the sower and the seed, and some of it did very well, some of it did not. Over in Mark, I like to think about this, the root system that we have. Mark 4. And 17. Where it says, 16th verse, these are they likewise that was sown on stony ground. When they heard the word, they immediately received it with gladness. You know, that would be something in a camp meeting, a Monarch, if somebody was to get saved and they just are soaking it in, they're just taking everything. You know, maybe they're ready to go home and they're ready to win the world. And it's letting us know, it's going to take a little more than that. They received it with gladness. But having no root in themselves, they endure but for a time. They did endure. They made it for a little bit of time. But it says, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So I'm thinking about for myself, Lord, as I have watched the example of others around me, that endured to the end, not even knowing when the end would be. And for me to do the same thing, rather than I take off fast, but it's only for a short time and I have not built the root system that I need. And then when trouble, affliction, or persecution arise, immediately they are offended. I want to be able to endure all the way to the end. I want to look at a verse. I haven't looked at this for a long time, but it came back to me this morning. In Jeremiah, and I think about watching Sister Maxine's life, Jeremiah 12 and 5, because I check myself here. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? What does that mean? If I have little things happening in my life, and they get me down, how am I going to be able to do when the big one hits me? How am I going to do when Sister Maxine's kind of affliction comes to me? If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee. But you know what I see from this is instead of it causing me to be discouraged, is that it causes me to say, Lord, I'm going to dig in right here. I want to be able to recognize I may be getting wearied while I'm running with the footmen. If in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, how are you going to do in the swelling of the Jordan? In the small things that happen in my life, I think about the things that Brother Wright is telling us about. We have the same thing. I can have my car gives me trouble tomorrow, and I'm asking the Lord to help me out with it, or other things that happen in my life. One of the biggest things is when we get mistreated by others. The attitude that I have, I may be able to keep a face that looks like it didn't bother me at all. But when I go to bed at night and I wake up in the middle of the night and I start thinking about it. You remember Brother Marty gave us a testimony of a time when somebody was upset at him and they caught him at a stop sign or something and they had a gun that they said they were going to shoot him. They put the gun back and they started hitting him with a fist. Brother Marty said, you know, I was able to take that. I didn't fight him. I didn't do anything. He tried to pull me out of the car, and he couldn't get me out of the car, and said he finally just left. He said, you know what? It was like I had victory right then. But he said, you know what? There were some nights when I was driving through the night, going to another meeting somewhere, and all of those things start flooding back in my mind again of how I was violated. And he said, I had to fight it all over again. You know, it seemed like he had such a victory. But you know, those kind of things we're going to have to continually, if we're going to endure to the end, because we can say, oh, I did so great right here. But what do I do days later when it starts wanting to come back to me again? I saw Sister Maxine have to take those things and reconsecrate them to the Lord again. There's nothing wrong with that. There was nothing wrong with that for Brother Marty. When it came back again for him to just take it up and say, Lord, I got to give it back to you. Remember over there in Matthew 11 where Jesus is asking us, I want to be able to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. A lot of times that laboring just happens right up in my head whenever I have the things going through my mind. Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. That's in 2 Timothy 2 and 10. What was in Paul's enduring all things category? You remember when we read the list of things that happened to Paul? He endured all those things. 2 Corinthians 11 and 24 to 25 tells us the troubles that came to him. You know, I can have troubles. Why does it say, if you run with a footman and they have wearied thee, what are you going to do when you come up against the horses? He had some major things happen in his life. 5 times he received 40 stripes, save one. It's hard to imagine what his back must have looked like. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He had to endure some things. And yet we see some little pictures of that, what was happening while he was enduring. Over in Romans, because his life is over now, he's left us an example. Sister Maxine's life is over, she's left us an example. Now it's my place to run this race. With all those things that happened to him, and he says this over in Romans 8 and 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, all those things that he had gone through, will they separate him from the love of Christ? And it goes on down in the 38th verse, here's his decision. I am persuaded that none of these things will separate us from the love of Christ. I am very thankful for the example that he gave us. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And that example that's given to us in Hebrews 12, Jesus left us an example that I think is very important for us. Here's that cloud of witnesses, 12 and 1. And after we've looked at them, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's the patience that we talked about this morning. Looking, and then second verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, in our life, it's going to be real important for me to see the joy that is set before us. I think Sister Maxine had a picture of the joy that was set before her. Just endure one more day. Now, one more day. Pass these days ready to meet the Lord whenever he calls for her. And for us to be able to do the same thing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Think of what all Jesus had to go through, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. There's another verse that says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap if we faint not. I was thinking of a story, and I don't know how recently you've read it. The book of Nehemiah is quite a story to read. Nehemiah had life going good for him. He's a cupbearer for the king. Yes, he's a slave, but life is good. But he looks back and he hears a report of what it's like back in Jerusalem. It tells him the report was the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and he starts mourning about that and wishing that he could do something about it. You know, for him to step from one place to the other, he's going to have to endure some hardness like a good soldier, because he goes to the king and the king grants him his request. I'm going to send you with the authority to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And it says after he got there, he didn't want people to know what he was planning to do. So he went by night and he rode around the walls to take a look at the damage that needed to be repaired. He said there was places that he went through. It was so bad that his horse could not even walk through it. The stones were broken, was falling down. So much repair that needed to be made. And then on top of that, he had opposition. There was a couple people called Sanballat and Tobiah. It said they were governors for Samaria and said they laughed us to scorn when we said we're going to put this back together again. But what he did was he went to the people, and Nehemiah told the people that lived there, God has sent me. Let's rebuild the wall here. And all of those people took heart and they said, we will do it. And you'll find it very interesting to read. This section of people took care of this section of wall. It was an organized effort. We're going to get this put up no matter what trouble comes from these other folks over here that laugh us to scorn. Those folks, as it was being built, they were laughing, saying, if a fox would go up on this, he would cause that wall to fall down. But they kept on working. And then they said, okay, how we're going to slow this work down is we're going to come and just catch them when they're working and give them some persecution. So it came to the place where it said, they that builded the wall, one hand wrought in the work and the other hand held a weapon. So we're still not going to stop our work. I don't want us to just think of Nehemiah. That's an old story, kind of interesting, but it's over. I want us to think about our life today when the devil comes in like a flood, for us to be able to resist him, and how they resisted him was, yep, it's a little bit slower to work with one hand and not with both hands. But they also said, this group over here that's working, you be listening. If they attack this other group, you come over and help them. We're going to band together till we get this done. And we're also going to work with one hand and hold a weapon to fight with the other. There was another little place that said, in that amount of time, here's the level of effort that they put, the level of endurance that they had. It says, none of them put off their clothes except for washing. What that tells me is we're working nonstop. We're going to wear these things, and the only time we're going to stop our work and take us a good long rest is when we need to wash them, we'll change clothes. But we're not going to take us a week off resting up. We're going to keep on working with it. At the end of that time, They finished the work that they wanted to do, and it was finished in 52 days, like a miracle that it could be done, especially with the opposition that was coming to them. What does that have to do with us? His was an endurance race. I have got my mind set toward this. What does it say? If you have wearied with the footman, what are you going to do when there's horses? He was willing to put his heart to it, endure the things that came to him, and be able to make it in the end. I am glad to have watched Sister Maxine with that same level of endurance. I am glad to have watched Sister Vicky with that same level of endurance. I'm going to make heaven my home. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to endure whatever needs to be done. You know, we don't talk much about Sister Vicky, but when I think about who she was and what she consecrated quietly to, we get to think about her every time we have our get-together back here in the back. And I appreciate what everyone is doing here. But I just get a little reminder of Sister Vicky, how she loved to be able to serve this congregation. It was an endurance race when she started losing her health, because she was one that would keep on going. I saw for years when she would drive to Guthrie to the church school to be there. Her heart was in it. And when she started losing that strength, she was not one of those that let a root of bitterness springing up trouble her. What she did was committed it to God. Today, we don't know what next week holds for us. But I want to, when the little things come my way, I want to consecrate them by looking back at others that have had much greater troubles come their way. When I look at Paul and the things he went through, and he said, "None of these things move me." These light afflictions that are but for a moment, that's going through the enduring process pretty well. I want to be able to do it in my life and have victory at the end. I'd like for us to close with song number 223. I mean to go right on. Yes. You know, that's an easy thing to sing, and I got everything going well in my life today. But when the trouble comes to us, I want to still be able to sing that song. That's over on 223. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not go, for God's going to give me victory if onward I shall go. That last verse, then forward let us go, our hearts with love aflame, our snowy banner borne aloft, inscribed with Jesus' name. The host of evil flee, and heaven's open gates. Can you imagine Sister Maxine when those gates started opening up for her? After all she had gone through in the enduring process, all the places where suffering had been a valuable thing for her, she realized herself, you know what? It was that suffering that brought me through this. It was maybe not just for her, but all of those people that came to visit her and had a desire to be able to encourage her, and they left encouraged and challenged themselves. It reached much farther than probably Sister Maxine even realized. The host of evil flee, heaven's open gates invite me now to hasten where eternal glory waits. For us and the things that will happen next week, we may not even think about them as being connected with me making heaven my home. But I want to endure in this race and make heaven my home. Maybe we could stand and sing number 223.